Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about getting out and doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode 6. Get contemplative about being adventurous. Rue takes a drink, and I ramble about hikes and camping with Cassidy and Honey. You know, every so often I am reminded just how lucky I am to have had so many great experiences, to have Rue and to have my partner and so many like-minded friends around me, and that I should never take any of this, these adventures, the things I've done or plan on doing, or just getting outside on a daily basis for granted. And every so often, I'm reminded that for some people, for whatever reason, can't get out and do these things, maybe for financial reasons or where they live, physical challenges, or just difficult life situations, and there's lots of reasons. I have always believed, though, that getting outside is a great life-changing habit, and it's all about just taking those first steps. And of course, it's always good to have someone you can rely on who supports you to go those first steps, to share those awesome experiences. Whether it's a friend, maybe your partner, or your children, and for many of us, it's our dogs. The bond we share with those we adventure with is special. And always know that you are important to them. Part of not taking things for granted is also remembering where I started from. I've been active for most of my life, and I often forget what it's like to have those first experiences. So my interview today with Cassidy, the dog mom of Honey from the Denver area, was really special to me because we got to recount her first camping trip. Well, first camping trip as an adult and with just Honey by her side.
Be really good at getting not where we're trying to go.
That is totally fine by me. Okay, so cool. I guess we can just get started from here. I forgot what we were talking about originally, but if you just want to introduce yourself and your dogs, and we can go from there.
Okay, well, I am Cassidy. And I have Honey. She is my only dog. We live in Colorado, and we go hiking a lot. That's pretty much what we do on our weekends. We try and get out on Saturday and Sunday. And now that I have a tent and other camping supplies, it will be much easier to get out both days if you're sleeping there. I mean, like, that was, oh, this morning was so great. We went camping last night for the first time, and just getting to wake up and put shoes on and go, like, I don't know. That was just a really good feeling.
Oh, and you're on Instagram as Hiking with Honey, or at Hiking with Honey. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to cover that before we kept going too far. But so this weekend was your first real official camping trip.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we left yesterday morning and came back this morning, and that was long enough. It was long enough for the first one. I've been camping before as like a kid. I went back in Florida, but never here.
Okay.
Never here, and it was cold.
I was gonna say there's still snow up in, and you're in the kind of the Denver area. in between Denver and Boulder. So I guess once you get up into the foothills a little bit, there's still snow on the ground.
Yeah, it has melted pretty quickly. Once you get up to, I feel like once you get like past like 8,000 feet, it starts getting to be more. We were up at about 7,000 last night, like 7,75. And it was pretty clear. I didn't even see any snow in the shady spots. And just a couple weeks ago in we were in the same area and there was snow there. So it's happening. It's like the snow melt is happening now,
okay.
which is good because it's really bad to have mud out there.
Yeah.
Our trails just get so rutted and it's bad.
Well, tell me a little bit about Honey. How long have you had her? Where you got her from? How she came to be?
So I have had Honey for about 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in June. She'll be three in November. She's about two and a half now. And she's from a litter between my dad's dog and his neighbor's dog.
Mm-hmm.
Spay and neuter your pets, folks.
Absolutely.
And the neighbors had kept her for about 7 months. And they really, should not have had dogs. They chained her up in the backyard a lot when they left, and she would get wrapped around their porch poles. And it was just very sad. And so when they had to move, I took her in. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
And she was home. How old when you took her in?
She was about 7 months.
Okay. How long after that did you move out to Colorado and start getting into hiking out there?
So it was actually a month after I moved here that I got her.
Okay.
I got her here. And then we went on our first hike. We didn't go on our first hike until October, I think. I was not an active person at all. I've always liked the outdoors, but living in Florida, I did not like the humidity and the heat combined. It was just,
it's brutal.
It was never a thing for me.
It's
really brutal. I could not stomach it.
Yeah.
So I came here and I hiked a couple times without her, but I enjoyed doing it by myself, but once I added the dog in, I don't know. Now it's like addictive. Now it's like, I wish we could be out there every day.
Yeah. Having a dog, it's not just like an excuse. It's almost, you have to go and do stuff with your dog.
Yeah.
You can't not take your dog out, especially living there in Colorado. Once you have a dog, you have no excuse. It's like, I got to get out with my dog.
Yeah.
It's just too great.
Yeah.
And a dog is just a really great motivation to get out and be active.
It really is.
Well, it looks like it wasn't long after you got her that you were already getting into some pretty serious hikes. I see that, even from your first post on Instagram, you were already getting up into the snow, kind of in the foothills there in the mountains. So it looks like you got her started pretty early.
Yeah. So I started her Instagram in late February, that would be 8 months after I got her, 9 months after I got her. So that was when we started getting more active with hiking.
Okay.
So it was about 8 months after I got her that we started getting out there. And even then, through last summer, we were really active through the late spring and the early summer. And then once June hit, we were done. It was just so hot last summer. We were not doing anything, but once it started getting nice again, we were back out there.
Sure.
Pretty much every day, as often as we can,
Well, how close to you are your local trails? What are you doing during the week? Or do you get out and hike just on the weekends, or is it almost an everyday thing?
Yeah, we try and get out as many weekdays as possible. We're really lucky that we have this huge dog park. It's a 400-acre dog park. So going there is essentially hiking because it's in the big foothills,
mm-hmm.
what are almost mountains, but rolling hills enough that it's good for both of us. It's not just a flat, walk around a lake. It's got some rolls to it. And we will try and do like at least 5 miles while we're there. And it's off leash park. So she's off leash most of the time when it allows. She's been having reactivity setbacks lately. So she's been having less off leash time around other dogs, which has been sad, but still been getting out, still been trying to. The only way to work through it is to do it.
Yeah. I see that you've been doing, it looks like some muzzle training with her to,
yeah.
Okay. Do you use it when you go to the dog park? And I'm curious about which dog park you go to. I mean, that sounds like a pretty nice dog park, 400 acres.
Yeah, we used to go to small dog parks, like normal dog parks, but she resource guards over tennis balls.
Okay.
And the ratio of tennis balls to dogs is just too high. So this dog park, since it's so large, people don't really leave their tennis balls. And when they do, it's like one in like, for as far as the eye can see, pretty much. So we've never had an issue at this dog park as far as her trying to guard against other dogs. And we don't wear it at the dog parks. Her reactivity is it's not severe. Like she doesn't like snap mm-hmm. and try and start fights instantly. She just will get very tense, and her hackles go up every time she meets the dog, whether she's like fairly calm or like super overexcited. That's just, she's always been like that since I got okay. her and before she was reactive. That's just what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She does it meeting dogs that she's met before, like having like re-meets with dogs. It's just, that's what she does when she gets excited.
Sure.
So that made it hard at the beginning of her reactivity for me to distinguish when she was uncomfortable with another dog coming up into her face. And like we've had a couple of fights at dog parks, like just unprompted things, like just, like we were at the very first time we went to Westminster Hills, another bully type dog came up to her and like they stared at each other for like 3 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then the other dog just like rushed in at her. And it was, I feel like that was probably the beginning of her reactivity getting worse in terms of meeting other dogs. But even then, she does not snap at other dogs. She just gets very, very tense.
Sure.
And it's really funny, actually, when...
More of an excitement thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's very frustration-based.
Okay.
But the last time we were at the dog park, a corgi came up to us, and she was on leash at the time, came up to us because I had treats, got in Honey's face, snapped in Honey's face, and Honey just, like, backed up and, like, looked at it like... I don't know what to do. Like, I wasn't doing anything. So she's a very good dog. She is. She does not have a mean bone in her body. She just doesn't like to share her toys
sure.
and gets very excited when meeting new dogs.
And so. I'm assuming she gets to socialize pretty often, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We did take a step back for a while. And that was mostly just due to my anxiety because I didn't
yeah.
want anything to happen, especially with her being a pit bull and us living in an area where so many of the surrounding cities have anti-pit bull laws.
Have you been trying to do any specific training with her for her reactivity or even seeing a trainer?
Yes, I would love to see a trainer. I am saving money for it currently.
Okay. I know it's expensive.
It's just so much money that,
sure.
yeah. So it is a priority. It's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of work. And that's why I have her on leash at the dog park, because I'm not really worried that she's going to start a fight, because that's just not what she does.
Mm-hmm.
But I bring like a whole treat, like my whole treat bag is full, and then I bring backup treats. And it's just, I'm just trying to create as many positive associations as we can.
Okay.
And we recently encountered a Great Dane at the park, and the Great Dane rushed at us. That was a setback for Honey. She was super tense. Like, she was even more tense meeting other dogs after that.
Yeah.
So, but with, like, 2 weeks of just pretty much, like, We never go on the weekends because I don't trust other people. And I know, like, when I first got Honey, like, she would not have listened to me at that dog park, like, at all. So.
Sure. And I think that that's a pretty common theme.
Yeah, and it is common. Like, I know my dad. Oh, I love my dad, but his boys are such sweet boys, but they do not have obedience.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, I feel, the default is you teach your dog how to sit and how to lay down and how to shake. And unless it presents with other issues, like, I mean, and that's how I was with Honey before she started being reactive towards other dogs. Mm-hmm. She knew commands, like she knew some stuff, but she was terrible on leash and I never worked on it. And until she started showing reactivity, then that was when we started doing more stuff just to give her more structure.
Yeah.
She is crate trained, but outside of that.
I think structure and consistency is really just the biggest part of it. And this goes not just with a bully breed, but I think with any dog, it really comes down to any dog can be, and I don't mean this to sound bad in any way, but any dog can be aggressive, and it doesn't necessarily matter the breed. It really comes down to how the dog has been raised, more or less. And I really think it comes down to responsible dog parents being consistent with their training. And that's where the real solution lies. So, yeah, definitely. The more you work with her. I mean, even with Rue. Rue is a great dog, but she's always learning. Even at 4 years in, I'm constantly working with her on new things, new training. So it's just, you know, it never stops. It's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we really buckled down with her training until last summer. So like about a year after I got her. And just in this last year, she's a completely different dog than she was a year ago. And she was a completely different dog a year ago than she was when I first got her. So it definitely, their environment has a lot to do with it. But once you give them that little bit of structure, they really, they take to it.
Yeah, they really do. And what's funny is you were talking about how you weren't quite as active until you got her. And then she's almost made you active in getting out on a regular basis. So,
yep. She's trained me.
I think that that's the truth with, it really comes down to, it's not just training the dog, but it's the dogs training us how to be better people, getting out on the weekends and being active, hiking. And I'd love to know, like, where are your favorite places to go out to? We mentioned, of course, the dog park, but where did you start from and where has it taken you so far?
Yeah, so the very first trail we ever did was actually the very first trail I ever did when I came to Colorado for the very first time on one of my spring break trips. I think it was my sophomore year of college. And it's I don't actually know what the name of the trail is, but it's on Flagstaff Mountain up in Boulder, and it's just, it has really pretty wildflowers and it has great views of the city. And we actually don't do it as much anymore. Like, we did it pretty often when we first started hiking. But there are so many deer on it. So unless you're there and, like, I try and go in, like, the middle of the afternoon when they're less active, because she just goes nuts for them.
Sure.
It's her number one nemesis.
I know that one. Rue's the same way. And I say this almost every single episode. That's her biggest thing is deer. But Boulder is beautiful, and there's so many trails. You almost don't even have to name them. You can just say that whole area is just amazing, with just full of trails. Yeah,
and it's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trails. And most of them are dog-friendly. So we definitely want to try and do more exploring up there after all of the traffic happens.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like March to October, pretty much, in Boulder. But if we go up to this little national forest access place in Pinewood Springs, that is not, like, it's not named. It's closer to Estes Park, probably about 15 minutes shy of Estes. So I feel like most people just go all the way to Estes because it's not, like, like, it's like you have to turn down this road and follow like this dirt road for like 4 miles or 5 miles to even get to the trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
So most people aren't that dedicated, but we like it. We like that area, but it's further. It's about an hour from where we are.
Okay.
And when we were going back in September and October, most of the time we would be the only car at the trailhead. And now it's like full by noon every day,
mm-hmm.
Which that's not that late.
I'm assuming that you're pretty much dedicated to going out every weekend with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your normal routine? Or do you pick a place during the week? Do you have specific places that you go? Or are you just kind of randomly, you know, picking something and going there?
Yeah. So I have anxiety about going new places with her.
Okay.
Because I am very clumsy. And I have a very debilitating fear of heights as well. So hiking mountains, mm-hmm. and being clumsy and being afraid of all of the steep drop-offs, it makes me nervous to try new trails.
Okay.
But I do try and like plan stuff out through the week for new stuff so that we can get new places. And I try and get like suggestions from other people too. And I have a couple friends here who run a outdoor like cooperation, but they run hikes essentially.
Okay.
And so I like to go for hikes with them, like on new hikes with them without honey, so that I can see what trails are like to know if I can handle it with her. Like if it's like if there's anything like too steep off the side, I don't like going there because she likes to go down that. And I'm like, honey, no, please come back up here. Or like anything with like lots of rocks. We've attempted the first/second Flatiron Trail once.
Uh-huh.
And there's a couple of rock slides on the up by the Flatirons that the trail goes through. And so once we hit that, I was like, okay, we're turning around. I am not falling to my death. And I guess somebody actually just did.
And Flatirons is a really popular area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So once it gets, yeah, we don't go there in the summer, especially with they're trying to like protect all the like the off trail vegetation that's just like right there.
Sure.
Because so many people are there and like they have signs up that say like don't go off trail, and people do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we just try and avoid that area during busier times just because it doesn't need the extra traffic. Which is sad because it's really beautiful. It is a really beautiful area and the Flatirons are very breathtaking and I would love to go there more, but it makes me feel bad. I don't know. It makes me feel guilty because it's just being so overused.
Yeah, I think overuse is definitely something to pay attention to, especially in the crowded areas, which is why I really appreciate kind of hearing from other people about discovering new locations and kind of getting away and off the beaten path and finding new mm-hmm. trails, which I think was one of the things that really excited me in looking at your photos, because it looks like you've got so many places that you go where there aren't that many people. And it looks, it looks like a lot of the stuff you're kind of out there, maybe not by yourself totally. And of course I get how you can be creative with the camera and kind of cut people out.
Yeah.
But it definitely looks like you're getting to some places that are maybe a little less traveled. Well, are there more state parks and even national parks that you've been able to get away to further out?
I don't know. We haven't done any state parks yet. I would like to, but we just haven't gotten to it yet. We have 10 or 15 trails that we like frequent and like that's like our list. And like I wanted to be more adventurous this winter and I like looked at like a lot of trails, but I drive a Nissan Versa, so it's very low to the ground and it is really not good for any of that. But I definitely like this summer, I think, because I do want to stay active through the summer more than we did last summer. And especially now that we're camping, like we can camp and not hike as much and find shadier spots and spots closer to water. But I definitely do want to do more exploring this summer to get more away from crowds. Because people, I enjoy the company of a few, not the many. The many are the people who leave behind the beer cans and all of the junk. And I don't want to be close to those people.
Yeah, I find that half the time that I'm trail running with Rue, we spend more and more time just picking up trash along the way. So that is a truly common thing. I wanted to talk more about, because we just hinted at it, that it really was like your first camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just, gosh, a week ago, a few nights ago. It wasn't very long ago.
Yeah, this is just this last weekend.
Okay. And you went to a place, and of course, I don't want to share all the secret locations, so I won't, you mentioned it's not a named trail, but it was around Pinewood Springs.
Yeah, near Pinewood Springs.
Okay.
Yeah, near Estes.
Because that's also where you kind of get up as you head over towards Rocky Mountain National Park. That's where Long's Peak and is it Twin Sisters, I believe, is over?
Yeah, kinda... I actually posted a picture of her with Twin Sisters in the back from this area. You can see there's some really great views of Twin Sisters from a couple of the trails in this area.
Beautiful area.
Which I didn't even know what it was called. And then I was like Googling, I was like, mountains near Rocky Mountain National Park. And I was like, oh, okay, that's it.
Well, go into some detail. Tell me about how did your first camping trip go? And, you know, tell me what you took with you, how everything worked out for you.
Was kind of surprised with how well it went. We had to buy a new tent because I did not have a tent.
Okay.
And a bear canister because not trying to tie my food up in a tree. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely bear country. And a couple other things. We bought, I think, about a new sleeping bag. And my parents bought me a pack, which is an early birthday present. They bought me like a 65-liter pack. It's, I'm in love with it.
Well, that's a big pack, too.
Yeah, it's a really good pack. It's an Osprey. They spent a lot of money on it. Very nice birthday present. I am very lucky. They've been really supportive of me getting outdoors more, which has been very helpful. And just supportive of me in general. But we're talking about camping. So I had to buy a couple things. And I'm the kind of person who stresses like every little detail. So there was lots of stress going into it. So like...
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah. So like by Friday night, I was like, this isn't going to work. Like we should just wait a couple weeks. But I was like, but it will work. And I've stressed so much. We have to go do it. I did not just cause myself this level of anxiety to just go for like our normal weekend hike. So we went and we left early Saturday morning. We only ended up hiking in about a quarter mile from the trailhead because it's a dispersed camping area.
Okay.
And there's lots of sites pretty close to the trailhead. And we were not the only ones out there. We went for a hike in the morning and there were lots of little tents everywhere. We were the only ones out, but that's because it was really cold.
Yeah, I was going to say it's still pretty early right now in the kind of in the camping season for that area.
Yeah, and we only ended up going because it was the lows that night were like in like the mid 40s.
Okay.
And like now it's back down to being in the like the low 30s overnight. Okay. So it was very much like this is one window we have for a couple weeks for comfort wise.
Yeah.
Like could do it this weekend, but I don't want to. I don't want to make our second camping trip like a 30 degree night kind of a thing.
Yeah, to be out in those freezing temperatures, it takes a whole nother level of preparation and really takes, I think, sometimes just more thought than a lot of people are willing to put into it. So that's great that you were able to get out and do it when it wasn't too bad, too cold.
But I was very pleased with, we had done a test night the week leading up to.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's never been in a tent overnight, obviously, or at all. And she was not happy on our test night. We ended up going back inside around 2 a.m. because she was sitting on my head. She wanted to use my pillow as her bed.
What part was she not happy about?
I think it was the temperature, the enclosed space,
okay,
the noise, because like we could still hear cars going by.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just a general like strangeness for her.
Mm-hmm.
And because she is kind of a little scaredy cat, like noises, like she gets very spooked very easily by noises and people coming up out of nowhere on her and that kind of stuff. So I wasn't very surprised that she was uncomfortable in the tent. But when we got out there, it was totally different.
And I'm guessing you did that kind of trial in your backyard?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was in the backyard.
Did you have to do anything special to get her into the tent the first time, or was she okay with just going right into the tent?
She jumped right in.
Oh,
she
really?
Did. She jumped right in. She didn't have any problems if the door was open.
Okay.
It was only once I closed the door that she was showing any signs of uncomfortability.
Yeah. I know it took the very first time I set the tent up in the backyard with Rue, and it took a little bit of coercion. I know that there were lots of treats involved to get her to go into the tent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we did the same thing. We kind of did a trial night out in the backyard, and we live right in the middle of the city too. So it's loud. There's cars and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that bugged her. So I generally find actually once we get out camping somewhere where it is quiet and in nature, she is much more calm about it.
Yeah. And I mean, like when we go on hikes, Honey is like calm, but like if we go on walks around the neighborhood, she is like way more reactive than she is on hikes.
Okay.
Just like in general, like every noise is is egregious to her. Yeah, she was much more comfortable that night that we were out in the mountains, and it makes sense to me because she's always more calm when we're out there than she is when we're at home.
Just less stimulating. So I guess just being out in nature, there's less noise and distraction and stimulation to affect her. Well, tell me more about the camping.
Yeah, so like I said, we hiked about a quarter mile in and set up camp.
Okay.
And that was super quick. Took about like less than 10 minutes, honestly, to do to set everything up, which like I had done it at home. So I knew it was going to be that.
Okay.
My mom was like all worried before I was going. She was like, make sure you know how to set everything up just so there's no issues. And I was like,
yeah,
it's like 12 clips total, Mom. Like it's when I went camping as a kid, like with my Girl Scout troop, we had a huge tent, and it took like, you know, all of us to set it up, and it was a big to-do, and we messed it up almost every single time because there were like a million poles and a million clips. But we just have a two-person tent, so it's small and simple.
Yeah.
And
tents,
I have the
days.
Kind of brain that likes doing that kind of stuff, so it was very easy for me. Even the first time setting it up in the backyard was super easy. So that was like 10:30 at that point, I think.
Okay.
And I was like, well, we're in a really pretty area with nothing to do, so I guess let's go for a hike. And so we ended up hiking for a couple hours, and then we kind of went back to camp for a while because I did want to spend time there and like hang out in the tent, like when the light was still out, and so she could get comfortable. And she was so comfortable. I think the new sleeping bag helped a lot. She really likes the new sleeping bag. I was like getting all of my stuff out at this, like on this end, she was like laying on my sleeping bag.
I was gonna ask, does she have her own sleeping bag, or is she just sharing with you?
So for now she's sharing. I definitely want to like get a better system for her, because what I ended up doing was I unzipped my sleeping bag a little bit and like shifted so she could curl up next to my side. And then I had a couple blankets with us, so we were comfortable. It was not like super cold by any means. I was kind of expecting it to be colder than it was, just because like the only time I've been camping was in like 60 plus degree weather.
Okay.
So it's just I don't know. Something about me was just expecting it to be worse at like every turn than it turned out to be. But yeah, we were comfortable for the majority of the night. She got up several times, like to reposition and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but we weren't up for maybe more than 15 minutes the whole time, like at any single any single point.
Just out of curiosity, did you plan for or did you do any cooking while you were out camping?
Oh, yeah. So definitely brought food that did not need to be cooked. I also brought food that could be cooked in case I wanted something hot and could get a fire going. I definitely want to invest in like some kind of cooking system in the future when I have the money for it. I know it's definitely worth it.
It's so expensive, but I do highly recommend it if you ever get to that point. There's so many great things. It's taken me years and I've built up a little bit of a collection and even I only have like that one main stove or that one thing. I don't have multiples because the stuff is so expensive, but I will say the ones that I've bought, I've had for 15 years or 10 years and they're still in great condition and high quality. So if you're ever curious, let me know. I can always give you some really good suggestions on.
Yeah, for sure. Like definitely always taking suggestions.
One of the things actually, I'm going to put a link to my personal camping packing list, which has all my stuff on there. So if you're ever interested in looking at that, I thought it would
be a
good resource for people that have dogs that are going camping because it includes Rue's camping list as well.
Yeah, I was like having that realization. I had that realization several times. I was like, however much stuff I need for myself, I then have to add in everything I need for the dog. Because I had looked at packs online because I was going to buy something for myself. And I was like, well, I don't really know what size I should get, you know? And I was like, well, I should really just go for like as big as I can carry because they compact down so well that if I don't need the extra space, fill it with blankets, fill it with something light. Like it's better to have the space with the dog than to not have the space and have to reinvest in something else.
Yeah, that's generally a good idea. I have 55 or 60 liter pack, which I'll be totally honest, I can't remember the last time I've used it, but what I've learned over the years is that less is better. So if the more you do it, and I think it just comes with experience of learning what what you can get away with and what you can do without.
Yeah.
So that part definitely, especially when it comes to, well, again, I guess kind of going back to buying items, making that choice on the front end and thinking, okay, I have to carry this for 2 hours or more, depending on what you're doing. So, anyway, I still have my favorite pack that I use is actually about a 30 liter. It's pretty small, and I'm usually able to get everything in it, but I don't change clothes. I've got one pair of clothes that I wear the entire backpacking trip or whatever. But, you know, who cares?
Oh, yeah. No, that'll definitely be me. That will definitely be me.
Okay. So you got out. You got a good hike in. And then back in time.
Failed to start a fire.
Did you do you went for the campfire?
Yeah, I went for it. Totally failed. I knew that going in. I've always been fairly bad at starting fires, and I practice, and it was very sad. It was a very bad attempt. But that's all right.
Practice makes perfect. Makes perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it would have been too good of a trip if I had been able to get the campfire going. I mean, then like nothing would have gone wrong pretty much at all. I mean, like the worst other than that, I mean, then that wasn't really even bad because I planned for it. I mean, like food wise, I was never going to rely on it, but it was super windy while we were out there because there was this like massive storm system rolling in, which was like what we were dealing with for the first 3 days this week. We had terrible weather Monday through Wednesday, and it was just so windy on Sunday. It was like Saturday night into Sunday morning / afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
At some point our tent stakes got pulled up. So that was fun. I think it was while we were sitting there the morning, like in the morning after our hike, and I got out and like had packed all the stuff up and stepped out of the tent. And as my foot left it, it started to like go behind us. So yeah, packing up was a very quick event because it started to rain. It wasn't like a real rain. Like it only lasted about 10 minutes.
Sure.
But she was freaked out by the sound of it hitting the tent. So huh. Once it started doing that, I was just like, okay, well, we're going to go and rush to pack, like shove everything back in, and did not do a good job packing at all. But it was less than 5 minutes back to the car. So I was like, I can deal with carrying like there's a detachable pack on the pack that they got me. And so like I had shoved stuff in there and I was like carrying that in my hand with the rest of the pack on my back. That was the disadvantage of the blankets, the extra blankets. Was definitely they took up way too much space, and that will be definitely being rethought because that was entirely for her to be warm.
Yeah,
definitely practice makes perfect on the packing list too. Campfire is pack list, physical act of packing. Oh my god, I think I repacked like 4 times on Friday night just to try and like get everything in like a way that it wasn't like bulging weirdly and like it felt comfortable. And It was an event.
So I do this great thing where, and you've probably seen a lot of people on Instagram, where you lay everything out like in a big square and then take a photo of it. It's the best way to like put everything out and organize it and figure it out before it all goes into the pack or into the car. Yeah. The whole flat backpacker photo, I think, is the common thing for it. But yeah, definitely practice makes perfect. And it sounds like you guys had a pretty successful camping trip for a first camping trip.
Yeah, no, it was very good. Like, we didn't freeze to death. We didn't run out of food. I had bought a water filter because, like, I was like, well, we're going to be out there for a long time. And I drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
That's just, like, that's I've always drink a lot of water. It's kind of annoying. But I'm well hydrated, so...
Were you easily able to find area nearby that you could filter water from, a source?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess there's so much snow melt right now, too, that it's...
Yeah. Okay. Right now, it's easy. Right now, it's not too bad. And I knew where, like, there was water in this area. I would definitely be more cautious, like, in an area I don't know as well. Because, like, there are so few water sources here in the grand scheme. Like, we've gone on so many hikes here that just nothing, like, at all. Even now when, like, the things that aren't really streams and creeks are running, like, really, like, full. But by the end of September, they'll be bone dry, and you'll be like, oh, but that's just how it is here.
Have you started making plans for your next camping trip yet?
I haven't. I haven't, just because it's been a week. We've been having a week. I'm definitely thinking about it and like being like, when can we go again? But I also know that like the weather that like this weekend is like gonna be pretty and like next weekend will probably also be so it'll probably be a couple weeks at least before we're back out there. But
take a couple of weeks to recover, and I guess you'll be back at it soon enough. So, any other useful, maybe, did we talk about, like, was there any other specific leash or harness? I see that she's usually always on a harness, it looks like.
We've actually been phasing that out recently.
Really?
I do leave it on occasionally because it has a handle on it. So it's useful for like holding on to her if I need to.
Okay.
And she wears it in the car because she's tethered. But then like you had that whole like little bit about how the tether is more dangerous. So now I'm like,
yeah,
gonna have to do research into that. So yeah, I switched her to a collar instead of the harness because she used to pull a lot.
Okay.
And I've actually noticed she pulls less on the collar. So that was one of the motivators. And actually it was talking to dog sledding people that was one of the biggest like shifts for me, because obviously dog sleds use harnesses and that's to protect the dog, and they pull into them, but they know to pull into them. So I've definitely noticed a difference in her walking between the collar and the harness.
Okay.
But I do have a favorite. I do have a favorite collar company/material. Biothane is it's definitely my go-to now. That's what I had her in last night camping, and she was playing in creeks all day yesterday and all day today, and the collar is clean and she doesn't smell and she's not wet anymore, like under it. Like, we've had that problem with fabric collars in the past where it'll just be wet all day.
Okay.
So definitely a fan of Biothane.
That's a waterproof collar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we get all of our Biothane collars from a company on Instagram called Four Black Paws.
Four Black Paws?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you still mentioned that she does occasionally still use a harness?
Yeah. So I'll keep the harness on if I want to be able to, like, have control over her.
Okay.
Like, because it has a handle on the back, so it's easy to grab onto. And then I use it in the car because I tether her into the car.
Yeah.
And I don't want that on the collar, obviously, because that would just not be a good idea. But now I'm rethinking, you know.
Yeah.
The whole tether thing anyway.
Well, I think that in the car, and I kind of did a little bit of research on that, that a harness is definitely going to be more supportive on the dog in the car, even with a tether. There's very few real safe options if you're in a car wreck. I think for the most part, a tether is great in the car for just kind of keeping the dog restrained. But yeah, definitely. We always use a harness even when we're in the car. So it just seems to be a little more comfortable on her, I guess, on Rue.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's move on to probably the most important question. Let's pretend that I'm going to take care of all your responsibilities. You know, you're not going to have to work. You're not going to have to pay for anything. And I'm going to give you a ticket to take Honey anywhere that you would like to go. Where would that be?
I think I'm going to say Hawaii, even though that sounds... like, oh, you want to go to Hawaii for a trip?
That sounds terrific.
That's like normal. yeah, but they don't have, I think they don't have rabies there. So
really?
Getting out of state, getting out of state dogs onto the island is a process. And my mom actually, she's not from Hawaii, but she lived there from 5 to 35 almost, I think it was. So I've only been once, but it's always kind of felt like another home, and it's just like the most beautiful place in the world, in my opinion. And I say that as somebody who lives in one of the most beautiful places in the world, but Hawaii will always be one of my favorite places. And if I could take her there, I would in a heartbeat.
Sure. That should be relatively easy. We will get on that right away. And actually, there are some pretty cool places there. I know, like, Volcano National Parks is the big national park there. So that would be totally worth it.
I don't know how that got affected in all their volcano eruption, all that volcanic activity they just had. I know there was
not
there
too
some
bad
closures in
yeah
in
not
there.
Too bad. I think
not
a lot
bad.
Of
That's
the
good.
The volcanic activity was really centralized in just one specific spot and didn't really have a big effect. I know that the media kind of covered it and made it sound like a really big deal, and it's always a big deal, but it did not really affect the
coverage wise.
Yeah,
it wasn't the entire.
Correct. It was more like kind of one little section of the big island, Hawaii, and it had a little bit of effect on several communities, but overall didn't have a major effect, especially not on larger sections like volcano national parks. So
cool. That's good to know.
Yeah, really good to know. But still, yeah, it's totally a beautiful area and totally worth visiting. And we'll get on that. Would you rather fly or take a boat?
Can she sit in my lap the entire way?
Absolutely.
Then we will fly.
Absolutely.
Baby girl is never going in cargo.
We wouldn't have
that. I would rather put myself in cargo and put her in my plane seat.
Yeah. Well, I guess to wrap this up, is there anyone either on Instagram or in real life that you would like to give a shout out to?
You see, I tried to think about this in advance, and even then it was still, it's just like there's so many good accounts and like so many people that I've become friends with that it's hard to pick out anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say one of my biggest photography inspirations has been, it used to be Nellie and Ellen, and I almost just said Nellie and Ellen, but it's now Nellie and Louise, because they got another puppy.
Okay.
My little puppies. Oh. But she has definitely, Ellen has been one of my biggest photography inspirations. And, there's just too many good accounts. I guess we'll shout out our friend. Our friend is starting a company, and they're getting real close to their launch date of hiking packs.
Okay.
Specifically for people with dogs. It has a carabiner. Yeah, they're called Mutt Ruck. Yeah.
Mutt Ruck.
But like the pack itself, like I cannot wait until we can get one. It has like a carabiner clip on the belt that clips across you, so you can attach your the leash if you don't want to, you know, if you want to go hands free.
Okay.
It's got just like a poop bag dispenser built into the other side of the belt, and it's got pouches for treats on both sides. It's just a really cool looking pack. There's other cool features to it too, and it's just, I think it's really cool. I can't wait till we get one.
Yeah, they've popped up in my feed a couple times, and I've taken a look at them. So. Yeah, that looks really cool. I guess, are they a fairly new startup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're. I think Gretchen was saying they're going to launch their Kickstarter in May, I think. They're hoping for to get the first round of packs to customers. Like, they just, like, picked their team recently. So they have, like, some packs finished, and they just, they look really nice. I'm still using like the backpack that I used in college as my hiking pack.
Recently saw that they were doing kind of they were reaching out for, I guess, like ambassadors or people to kind mm-hmm. of rep the, and they were going to send out a few prototype bags to people to try out and to post about. And I almost put my name in the hat for that. So, and I didn't, I ended up not doing it just because
so many entries.
There's so many things on Instagram, and I've kind of personally avoided like putting any kind of brand or any stuff on,
mm-hmm.
on Rue's page just because, you know, we use a bunch of stuff mm-hmm. and we talk about it, but I try not to advertise too much stuff, but yeah, we definitely use quite a few things, and I talk about it every once in a while, but this is one of those that I'm like, oh, yeah, these are cool. These look really awesome.
Yeah.
So that's Mutt Ruck, and I guess they're at Mutt Ruck.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I will put that. I will definitely put that in the show notes. Anyone else that you want to point out? Any close friends?
Well, obviously, Megan of Boone Boy Mountain Dude is a friend of the podcast, friend of the account here, and they're local to us. We're hoping between Honey's reactivity and Boone's level of excitement, we haven't met up with them yet, but we're going to try in a couple months. We're going to try in a couple months to have a hike with them.
That's awesome.
And I think it was, I cannot wait. I cannot wait, honestly. I think Boone is just the most adorable. I love that little curly boy.
Yeah.
Oh, so cute. Oh my God.
Definitely so. I agree with that. You mentioned there was like an outfitter or an outdoor co-op that had helped you find information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll shout them out. Hell yeah. They're friends of mine.
Oh, okay, cool. Do you know the name of it?
Yeah, their group name is called Rising Routes.
Rising Routes?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a physical location, or is it they're just kind of online?
No, it's
online
still
presence?
Very small. Yeah.
Okay.
They're on Meetup for any like local Denver people. And they have an Instagram account, which is just at Rising Routes.
Okay. Well, I will definitely include them in the show notes so that people can find them. And I guess they're just kind of like a local group with some resources on finding locations to go to get outside.
Yeah. So their like whole thing is, it's like helping people find places to go, but it's more about human connection.
Okay.
And especially across like different groups of people, like whether you're, you know, white, black, Asian, straight, gay, disabled, anything that makes you different than the person next to you. It's about bridging gaps and getting outdoors together.
Yeah.
I know Jason and Marisa both are very big proponents of like the outdoors is healing for you. So that is just, that's really their goal, is to get people outdoors and talking to other people and kind of just a human outdoors collective of good.
Yeah, that's totally awesome. Yeah, I will absolutely include them in the show notes. I think that's great information.
Yeah, I've gone on several hikes with them, and they're really nice people. Everybody I've met on hikes with them has been super nice. I've had some of like the deepest conversations with people I did not know at all before that day, you know? So it's definitely a good group. I wish more of those kinds of people existed.
Are you able to take Honey on those group outings?
Yeah. So, we haven't yet. Cause it is still relatively a new thing.
Okay.
Like just the group in general, but we are like me and Marissa are trying to get together for a hike so she can meet Honey. She really wants to meet Honey.
Yeah.
And they are trying to do more dog friendly stuff.
Okay, cool.
I think there are some people in the circle that are afraid of dogs.
Sure.
So it's kind of like making it all work. And obviously I totally understand that. And I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable by bringing Honey along. So.
Okay.
That's kind of the opposite of the point of trying to spread good through her account.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So yeah, I will definitely include that. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything. I just wanted to say thank you very much, and I'm really excited to have you on the show, and this has been a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you so much for having me.
Again, you've got some amazing, amazing photos on here. So, yeah, everyone.
Thank you.
Go check these out, and have a great night.
Yeah, you have a good night as well.
And that was Hiking with Honey. We had a 2-hour long rambling conversation about all sorts of things. And by the end of it, we still hadn't talked about her camping trip. So we actually had a second talk just about camping. So if you happen to notice a change in the sound quality during the interview, that's why. And I hope it didn't bother you too much. Going back to camping, though, no. You don't have to have all the gear. I know I just got done talking about my camping list and my favorite things to take with me, but seriously, don't think you have to spend a whole bunch of money in order to go out and do things. It definitely helps to be prepared and kind of be comfortable in getting out, but adventuring isn't about owning things. Really, getting your foot out the door is the most important part, and don't feel like you need to own all the things to get started. Most importantly, it's about the experiences, or in this case, the shared experiences. I also want to remind everyone, it is starting to get warm out, so if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, I think I may have one listener below the equator. Lucky you, cooler temps are on the way. So, three things, and I'll probably go into more detail in the next show. Keep your pups hydrated. Always carry water with you. I usually run with water for Roo, and I keep extra in the car along with a bowl. But also, don't forget about yourself. Though I will point out, don't drink too much. Overhydration in humans is a real danger, and it's called hyponatremia. I recommend really drink to thirst and use an electrolyte mix if you can on really hot days or if you sweat a lot. Again, I'll cover this more in the next show because I think it's really important. The second thing is tick checks. With this warming climate that we have, ticks and other bugs, they're starting to become much more common, especially early on in the season. Ticks can carry two things, Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, both of which affect not just humans, but also dogs. So daily tick checks. And don't forget to check in between their toes. We get them all the time in those little spaces. And of course, I shouldn't have to mention this last one. I know that most of you are aware, but I have to say it anyway. Don't leave your pups in a hot car. It's a no-brainer. Well, thank you for listening. That wraps up episode 6. If you have any comments or suggestions or you just want to talk, or if you happen to be interested in being on the podcast, you can email me at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com. Or of course, you can also message me on Instagram. It's @adventuredogpodcast. As always, check out the show notes on the blog for all the info and people and places and products that we talked about during the show. If you're listening to us on iTunes, again, I would love it if you'd leave a rating or a review if you've got a moment. Thanks for listening. Now, go have an adventure with your doggos.